Herman Keevil said, marriage is a commitment, a decision to do all through life that which will express love for one spouse.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of The Tide. I'm Dave Dino, and in just a few minutes, Pastor Dwayne Potiker will deliver a message that every Christian needs to hear about a problem that almost every Christian has had to face. It's called protecting your marriage from sexual sin. Now, even if you have never given in to sexual temptation, this message is for you. In fact, it's especially for you because it focuses on ways to prevent marital infidelity. We'll get started shortly, but first let's join Dwayne for a few opening thoughts. Dwayne, I know men who won't even sit in the same room with a woman unless someone else is there. And for some men, that someone else has to be his wife. Do you think that this is a little bit over the top? Or, well, is it just good common sense?
I'd much rather personally, Dave, have guardrails to keep me from crashing than to have an ambulance and an emergency crew at the bottom of the cavern to pick me up. So I don't want to go as far as to say that we need to go to legalism and become extremists, but there are certainly good steps that we can take to make sure that we are maintaining integrity and accountability in our lives, because we know that we are susceptible, and we know that there are times when we get weak and we are in a dangerous scenario. So I'd rather have the guardrails to keep me from falling.
Now, we're talking today about how to protect our marriages from sexual sin, but what if it's too late? What if some of our listeners have already succumbed to sexual temptation? How can today's lesson help them?
I think there are several things that it will help do. I think it will help to clarify the mistakes that were made, and I think it will be a learning and growing opportunity. It'll help you take what Satan meant for evil, and God can use it for good. Another thing I think it will happen today through the message is it will help that individual to take the steps to ensure they don't make the same mistake again. We tend to be creatures of habits, and we tend to have these weaknesses that we potentially will go back and repeat the same failure. But by listening and looking and learning, we can be overcomers. So I'm really hoping that if there is a person listening today who has made that mistake, they will learn from this and not do it again.
The Bible tells us that God's mercies are new every morning. If you've stumbled, God can keep you from falling. If you've fallen, He can pick you up. Let's join Dwayne for the conclusion of his message, Protecting Your Marriage from Sexual Sin.
Let's look then at some instructions to avoid marital destruction. Number one, maintain your spiritual habits. Perhaps more important than anything else that I will say today, that one would be the most important. The key to your marital success, your marital fulfillment, your marital victory, perhaps even your spiritual eternity, is greatly dependent on that very first thing, maintaining your spiritual habits. You might say, Pastor, what do you mean? I mean things like making time to get into God's Word until God's Word gets into you. Do you believe God's Word is living, powerful, more, sharper than any two-edged sword? Then we have to get the Word into us so that it will enable us to live what the Word says. We have to learn to spend time in God's presence, not just lifting our requests and our burdens, but marinating ourselves and our heart and our spirit in His presence until our hearts are made tender and soft. Two, be careful when with the opposite sex. Don't start anything. Don't go there. Don't do the flirting and the teasing. Avoid the alluring romantic comments. Be careful of those statements that affirm and build up and make people feel good and those warm fuzzies. Just be careful. I'm not saying you can't say those things in expressions of appreciation. Be careful. Be careful. You see, usually affairs and adultery start innocently. So I want to encourage you, set some good boundaries. Establish some convictions for your own self ahead of time. I want to encourage you, if you ever meet with somebody of the opposite sex, never meet alone. Always meet in public. Keep the door open. Keep the lights on. Stay in the public. You don't need anyone to tell you how far to go. The Holy Spirit is not on vacation. Listen to the checks of the Holy Spirit. He will check you and He'll warn you, don't go there, don't go there. Proverbs 6:29 says, "Can a man scoop fire in his lap without being burned?" It's a rhetorical question. The obvious answer is what? No! Third, listen to your mates, or if you're single and a child, listen to your parents' advice. Somehow God has given our spouse a marital intuition. We sense things, especially wives. They have an intuition. It's an invisible form of protection that God gives us. You can even ask friends or relationships. Ask parents, what do you see in our relationship? Are we going too far? Fourth, tell on any individual's advances. Don't wait. Do it immediately. Learn to protect your marriage. If somebody's flirting with you, tell your spouse. Expose it. You remember how Satan wants to work? Scripture says that he likes to work in darkness. He likes to work through deceit. Keep things undercover. Don't let anybody know. Hide, hide, hide. You want to break that power? You want to defeat the enemy's temptation? Expose it. Bring it to light. Tell on him. Ha! And you will deflate him. Number five, don't spend time alone with the opposite sex. We've already gone there. Number six, according to Proverbs 5:15, he says very clearly, drink from your own spring. That is spoken directly to us who are married. That is not a word of license to singles. Scripture is very clear about sexual immorality. We're actually going to wrap up there today. But those of us who are married are to find our fulfillment and our physical pleasure and release from our spouse whom we've committed to for life. The best defense, friends, is a good offense. There are times, if you are working in business or you will need to be away, that you as husbands and wives need to provide for each other prior to your spouse leaving and immediately upon their return. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Don't let your husband or your wife leave your home being physically or sexually vulnerable that they are hungry when they get out there on the road. Satisfy them at home and let them be excited to come home. And those are things that for some reason couples don't talk about and they leave themselves vulnerable to temptation and sin. Drink from your own spring. Your body, Scripture says, belongs to your spouse. Number seven, beware of emotional adultery. When you feel like someone of the opposite sex understands you, get away while you can. Avoid that emotional ties. They get stronger and stronger and then people say, I love this person. I can't hurt them. I can't break it off. Avoid those emotional ties. Number eight, get your thought life under control. Don't play with fantasy fire. Amen? Don't play with fantasy fire. You will get burned every time. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 says, "And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ." Take those lustful or tempting thoughts into your mind. Take them and capture them by the power of the Spirit through prayer. Tell the enemy that you don't want his temptations. Command those thoughts to go where Jesus would have them. Tell the Lord you want his thoughts. You want to focus on good things. Get your scriptures and go to the back to the concordance and look up the word mind. And study some verses about the importance of your mind and what you do with your mind as to the significance of your spiritual victory in your battles. Fix your mind on those things that are good, pure, lovely. And let your mind be renewed. I mean, it goes on and on. I was amazed at how many verses are in the concordance about the mind. Number 9, avoid sexually stimulating media. We are inundated with junk. Everywhere we go. I mean, we can't even watch a ball game anymore without being hit with commercials that are sexually stimulating. Some think it's too radical to cut the cable. But I would suggest maybe the cost is too high to keep the cable. Do you realize that what you feed is going to grow? Whatever you're feeding in your mind is growing. We need to feed our spiritual life, not the flesh. And I know, men, we have a challenge and we have a responsibility. We need to learn to overcome the thoughts and the temptations. We need to learn to look away. Don't take the second look. Jesus said, any man who looks at a woman and lusts after her has already what? Committed adultery in his heart. Number 10, I believe, is where we are. Establish an accountability system for your life. Establish an accountability system for your life, for yourself. Occasional attractions are normal, but when we are vulnerable, it can be deadly. We need men to be around men. We need women to be around women. You need somebody. You give permission in your life to ask you the hard questions. What are you struggling with? Where are your greatest temptations? Has anybody been flirting with you? Have you had a temptation to flirt with somebody else? How's your marriage? Are you expressing your love? Are you being intimate? Are your desires and needs being met at home? Somebody needs to be given permission to ask you the hard questions. If you want to make heaven your home, you'll be willing to do those things that are hard for the sake of making heaven. Number 11. Remember, you'll get caught. Don't go there. Satan is a liar. He's trying to say, oh, you can slip by. Jesus will forgive you. Oh my goodness, I've heard that. People have said after their sexual failure, I believe the Lord would forgive me. But I want you to know Satan is a liar. Yes, God does forgive, but oh, the pain. Oh, the heartache, the brokenness of lives, the memories, the haunting. Numbers 32:23 says, be sure your sins will find you out. Number 12, realize you will regret it terribly later. You will regret it terribly later. Sin and guilt and shame are a heavy burden. But James 4:7-8 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You might ask me, why is this so important? Why did you share these things with us about instruction to avoid marital destruction? Because everywhere we look in our culture, we are being blasted and blown apart by sexual sin. It's not just out there in the world. It's not on the streets. It's not just in the schools. It's in the services of the church. It's in our Sunday school classes. I mean, Satan is destroying us from the inside. And we need help. And we need to stop hiding. We've got to get real and realize that there is not a single temptation that has taken us but is common to man. Don't think you're the only person struggling with this. Get it out in the open. Seek God. Let's get on our knees together, lock our arms, and come against the enemy and win this battle. Let's win this one. Scripture says we can. Now, I have a passage there, and I'm not going to take the time to read it. Our time is slipping away. But in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, God gives us His word on sexual immorality. He says to us very clearly, the wicked will not go to heaven. The wicked will not go to heaven. And I've listed for you there who He includes in that list of the wicked. Just listen who they are. The sexually immoral, that is any sexual stimulation outside of marriage. It's fantasies and affairs. It's pornography. I mean, we could include masturbation. We could go on any sexual stimulation outside of marital relationship. Sexual immorality. He talks about idolatry, the worship of anything that is not God, something that holds a higher place. Adultery, activity sexually outside of our marriage. Homosexuality, sexual desire with somebody of the same sex. Thieves, those who steal and take what that is not theirs. Greedy, excessive desire to have or possess. Drunkards, those who have their facilities or their faculties impaired, whether it's alcohol or drugs. The slanderers, those who utter false charges or misrepresentations about people, who damage them by what they say. Swindlers, those who obtain something by fraud or deceit. He says those who are wicked will what? They will not go to heaven. Now, I want you to know that in verse 11 in that passage, there is hope to be changed. Because he says, and that is what some of you were. Were. Indicating that the believers in the church in Corinth lived in those sins. But he says it as a past tense. That's where we find hope. Because we may find ourselves either past or even present today struggling with these same temptations and sins. But I want you to know there is hope to be changed. You can be transformed by the power of Christ. There is power in the blood of Jesus to forgive. But not just to forgive your past sin. There is power through Christ to change you from your sin. If there is not hope to be changed through the power of Christ, then we are hopeless. We would go on through life praying, oh, forgive, God, please forgive. But God wants us to be transformed more and more into His image and likeness. He wants us to stop sinning. And that is that third point in this passage. The sign of being saved is that you cease from sin. Oh, I'm so concerned that in our world today, so many people are saying, well, I'm a Christian. They say they have a hope of going to heaven. I ask, where do you think you're going to go when you die? Well, I think I'm going to go to heaven. Why do you think you're going to heaven? Well, I'm a pretty good person. And then I start asking the hard questions about, are you being obedient to the Lord? Are you staying sexually pure in your relationship as a young couple? Are you staying sexually pure, mentally pure, as an adult male or female? And then they start getting real and honest, and I say, you know what? According to Scripture, if we're struggling with those sins, we're in a dangerous place spiritually. Biblically, a Christian is one who has ceased from sin and is walking in the power and the victory of the cross of Jesus Christ. Probably all of us could say, I haven't arrived yet. We could say with Paul, not that I have arrived, but I press toward the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. I will determine and decide by the help of Jesus Christ. I'm going to leave these sins behind. I'm going to rise up in His strength and His power. I will become accountable. I will be determined to walk in victory over these sin and temptations. But I want you to know, says God will judge the sexually immoral. We are to see that there is no sexual immorality among us, in our bodies or in our minds. Revelations 21:8 says, the sexually immoral will be condemned to hell. That is not a pretty place or a pretty statement. You may be finding yourself struggling in your mind or in your marriage today, and you say, you know what, I want God to help me. And if we're willing to be so vulnerable and transparent and recognize that we are all on the same level ground, we live in the same sin, we live in the same society, and we are fellow strugglers on the journey. Herman Kievel said, marriage is a commitment, a decision to do all through life that which will express love for one spouse. I remind us today, loving our spouse is not about how I feel. It's not about what they did for me on my behalf. Love is a choice. Love is a follow-up of a commitment that I made at an altar, regardless of how many years ago it was. And now that I have made that commitment, I don't have the option to consider alternatives or other individuals. I am committed to walk it out. Now I need to put it in gear. Don't allow my relationship to drift into neutral, because if it is an uphill climb, just as our spiritual life, I can't afford to let my marriage and my marital relationship get kicked into neutral, because what I have sensed will begin to happen is I start drifting backwards. Backwards from God, backwards from my spouse, backward from my commitment. And I can't afford to go there, because Satan will slide in and try to destroy what God wants to build and to bond.
The Bible tells us that we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. If you want to protect yourself from temptation, saturate yourself with God's Word, surround yourself with God's people, and surrender yourself to God's will. Now for some final thoughts. Let's join Dwayne and our director Don Schenk in the studio.
Dwayne, it is true that God's Word is so important for us in our lives as guidelines for us as Christians, and there is a lot included in Scripture on marriage and sexual purity.
There really is, Don. And let me take a moment here just to share a couple, because I think God obviously wants to get this principle through to us. It's something that has pervaded humanity ever since the fall. But here are several verses that I think we need to reflect on, given by Paul. Galatians 5, 19 through 21, and I'm going to just reduce it down to this part. He says, "The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality," and then he goes on by saying, "those who live like this," now notice what he says, "will not inherit the kingdom of heaven." Very important to understand how serious this issue is. In writing to the Ephesians, in Ephesians 5, 3, Paul said, "But among you there must not be a hint of sexual immorality." These verses are very relevant to what we're dealing with today, because our society is inundated with this information.
Dwayne, these scriptures make it quite clear that sexual purity is something that God wants us to take very seriously and to place a high priority on. Now, as we look at scripture, sometimes we look at that as theory. And, you know, your lesson today, this is fine that you've taught us on sexual purity, but how do we really make that real in our lives? How do we make the application? Are there some questions we need to be asking ourselves?
I think there are, Don, and perhaps these would be some good questions to start with. First of all, are you keeping your own mind and body sexually pure? That's where it starts. Sex starts in the head. Your mind, what you're thinking. Another question is, do you need to repent and confess of any sin before God? Because you want to make sure that he's cleansed you of your sin. Praise God, he forgives you. You can start again. And when you take away that sin and the Spirit of Christ lives in you, the power of temptation is minimized. And so we want to make sure that the sin is covered. Another area that I think is really critical, especially in the believer's life, is what new patterns, disciplines, or even accountability do you need to establish around your life to help safeguard you in your walk with the Lord?
Okay, so it's important for us to take the responsibility and the initiative in our own lives, but also to involve others in holding us accountable.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Dwayne. I'd like to give our listeners an update on our project in India, Radios for India. You'll recall that this is a project we've initiated this year, has been going on, where we want to provide radios for people in India who can't afford to buy their own radios, so that they will then have the opportunity to listen to Christian programming like ours, and there are other broadcasters that are also producing Christian programs in India. We want people to have access to that, because it doesn't do any good if it's just out there floating in the airwaves and people can't bring it in and actually access it and listen to it.
Don, there might be somebody listening today who is not aware of this project, Radios for India. So where did they get started, and even how could somebody get involved?
Well, the main idea for this program, it's not a new idea. There are other organizations that are doing this. But while I was visiting India last year and visiting with our staff there, they shared several stories with me. And one of those was of a 14-year-old girl who had written in to express appreciation for the program and to ask for more information about Jesus Christ. She was interested in what she heard, but she also shared in that letter that she didn't have a radio. She actually had heard the program while visiting at her uncle's home in the city. And now that she was back home in the village, she couldn't listen to the program. She wanted to know how she could learn more about Jesus Christ. Well, our staff sent her some information, but they also published that letter in our newsletter. A gentleman read about this girl's plight. He sent in some money and said, please buy that girl a radio and send it to her. The radio was purchased, given to the girl. She later wrote back to say that she was now listening regularly to the broadcast, had accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior, and her whole family was now listening to the program.
That's exciting.
That is. And out of that, we get other letters in which people share that they just heard the program by chance while they were visiting with someone else. So there are many people in India who just cannot afford a radio. They don't own one. And that's why we've initiated this program, so that we can purchase radios, distribute them to people in India. The radios that we're purchasing are fairly simple but durable shortwave radios. They also have a cassette player in them. And we try to identify an area where there are people who can be assigned as stewards of these radios and who will allow others to listen with them. As funds become available, we purchase radios and distribute them. I have in my office some photographs of people who have received the radios, and it's just a joy to hear their testimonies of what God is doing in their lives. So these are a valuable tool to help promote the spread of the Word of God, so that many who otherwise wouldn't hear can now hear the gospel. And it's all happening because friends of the ministry here are sending in contributions that we can send on over to India, purchase radios, and make those radios available.
You know, the Tide program can often go where our missionaries cannot, leading thousands of people to Christ in the process. But there are hundreds, maybe thousands of villages in India that don't have access to a shortwave radio. Your gift today of just $25 or more will help us to put one in every village in India. To make a donation, call us today toll free 1-877-859-5484. Again, that's 1-877-859-5484. And thank you. Thank you so very much. Now, as always, today's program, Protecting Your Marriage from Sexual Sin, is available for a gift of any size. To receive your copy on audio cassette or CD, call us and ask for program number 0430. Now, the toll-free number to call is 1-877-859-5484. Or send your request to us at The Tide at P.O. Box 399, Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, 17201. In Canada, write to us at P.O. Box 2513, Station B, Richmond Hill, Ontario, L4E1A6. For information about The Tide, or to hear an encore presentation of today's lesson, be sure to visit our website at www.gospeltide.org. Now, throughout history, churches have been scattered and ultimately defeated by a common flaw, the lack of unity. So come and join us next week for a timely message that can help us recapture our Christian solidarity. Until then, I'm Dave Dino, thanking you for tuning in to The Tide, a ministry that's touching hearts on shores worldwide.